Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sage Rosenfels.
Good physical stature, can see, and looks to be smart with the football.
12-year NFL quarterback.
Rosenfels, rolling, near side, throwing for the end zone, touchdown!
Our Tuesday morning quarterback.
There's just so many combinations that a defense can do to confuse a quarterback, even a veteran quarterback. That is the complex, deep science of football that very few people understand.
Sage Rosenfels,
brilliant!
With Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan four packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one large popcorn, and one low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. They are winners. They are the Wolves. Joining us now is indeed Sage Rosenfels on Twitter at SageRosenfels18. With KFan, he's a writer, he's a broadcaster, he's an analyst, and an interesting political voice on Twitter, I might say, as well. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Well, Sage, I don't know what there is to talk about when a longtime career veteran backup quarterback gets into a game and looks like kind of what we knew Chase Daniel is and was.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, he did a lot of good things in this football game, and there was a couple mistakes, obviously, and a couple missed throws here and there. But you know, he hit some big balls, down the field, and was very accurate on some of those throws that sometimes Mitchell Trubisky is not as accurate. So I would say, all in all, he played good football. But winning football is I always talk about with Minnesota with Kirk Cousins is their stats are one thing, but winning football is that stuff that happens at the end of a game, at the end of two minute drills, third downs, red zone. That's where you really have to play your best football. And obviously the end, the way that game ended. With the interception, obviously that was but that's always tough because I thought for the most part he did play winning football throughout that game.
He's Sage Rosenfels. He's our Tuesday quarterback, brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today. Sage, I don't know how to ask this without sounding somewhat snarky, especially since I've never really played quarterback, but I am genuinely interested. What happens to a quarterback when they throw it right at the linebacker's numbers? Like, what happened there? Because you're talking about playing winning football. That can't include turnovers. What happened?
Well, on that play, they have what I would always call a double hammer concept. And what basically is just the underneath guy, the inside guy runs about a 5-yard hitch, and then the outside guy runs a square in. And basically that linebacker either squeezes that inside 5-yard hitch or he sort of sinks back into the middle of the field, which takes away the in route. And then that hitch is open. So it's sort of a one or the other, sort of a high low on those linebackers. In this case, I'm not sure if it was bad spacing or what, but the offensive players were fairly close to each other. So there wasn't much separation between that in or out and that inside hitch. And I think he was just trying to anticipate, and it ended up, sometimes if you sort of look at that hitch route, you just sort of throw it, hoping that linebacker is going to drive, on that hitch. Favre was great at that. And then you end up whizzing the ball right behind their ear, and you're good to go. But on this situation, I think he was anticipating that linebacker coming up on the hitch route, but he didn't. He stayed back in the middle. If anything, he actually went in the other direction a little bit, ended up being right into his chest. So, I've seen that happen, many, many times in practices and in games before. Obviously, as a quarterback, you want to be, probably a little more conservative in the sense of, in that type of situation with this type of defense. Interceptions are really the killers, and obviously that was a forced throw. But, it's early in the football game. Sometimes quarterbacks do throw interceptions, and that was early in the football game, and I thought he did a pretty good job bouncing back from that and playing good football literally into the, the very last, one of the last plays of the game, the interception on that corner route.
Yeah, and that looked like a little desperation on his part combined with a receiver coming off a route and flattening a route in a way he probably shouldn't have. And it just, somebody else might have picked it off even had the route been good. But it was interesting to me, like you say, balancing the idea of not making a mistake with the fact that, you know, you're not running the ball, you got to get it down the field. Somebody's got to do something.
This offense, you know, very much is controlled and run by the quarterback. I mean, obviously Nagy's calling the plays and sidelines, and they do so much hurry-up stuff that they're on the ball, and he can still call those plays from the sidelines with the 15-second rule and all that. But they are really dependent on the quarterback to do everything in this. They don't run the ball very well, which means they don't really do much to any real play action. You know, that's the whole thing. And, you know, be able to throw the ball deep down the field, you have to have the linebackers and everybody step up and play the run first. It allows the quarterback to have more time, and they don't do that. So it means everything is sort of the, you know, he's like the point guard who has to dish it to everybody. And over the course of the game, you don't want your quarterback, you don't want to win or lose because of your, you know, backup quarterback. That's just the way it goes. And most backups are about 500 in their career. And I think Chase is somewhere around there. You know, he plays well in some games and doesn't play as well in other games. But, you know, does this Bears team want to rely on their quarterback to win them the football game? Seems like to me in this style of offense, that's the case. And, you know, even a guy like Chase, who's been around a long time, but he hasn't played in a ton of games. He's not a, you know, 12 years, not Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or these guys who've seen everything. And, you know, on that play, I know what he saw. I think he was thinking it was going to be man-to-man. I think he was going to have that corner route. It ended up being zone. And, you know, somebody who's got – and it's at the end of the game. So you want to – you know, you're feeling like, man, we can come back. We're going to win this thing. We're going to win this game in London. It's going to be this great deal. And then you just sort of push it just a little bit, just a little bit too aggressive. And you had the under route guy and you end up misreading it, thought it was man. End up being more of a cover three zone. So that corner just, you know, sank back. And he had his deep third. And the receiver did flatten it off, but you know, it ended up being just basically a fair catch for that cornerback, and pretty much sealed the win for the Raiders.
Sage, we've been hollering about that offensive line for the better part of 2 days now, and I know the job for you is to watch the quarterback mostly, but I have to imagine you see something in the tackles, in the guards, and in the center. What's going on with this Bears offensive line as best you can tell?
Well, yeah, as a quarterback, you see the line, you see everything, you see the line for sure, and you see if the receivers run sloppy routes. And you know, what I see is not great detail in the running game, if anything. But that's what I see. You know, there's a couple sacks in the football game. You know, one of them I would put on Chase Daniel. I thought there was a nice pocket in there. The line did a nice job. It wasn't a big pocket, but there was enough space for a quarterback to step up in it. He ended up going out the back door and ended up getting sacked. And so I sort of put that one on Chase. And another one was, you know, Long, the right guard. He had this real tough situation where he had two linebackers sort of right over him, and they both came for a second, and so he wasn't really sure which one he was going to take, mm-hmm. and the inside guy drops out. So then he ends up taking the other guy, which is to his right, who ends up picking the tackle. And then the tackle, the defensive end comes around and gets that sack. And, you know, in a normal situation where he doesn't have those two linebackers, he can get his hands on the first linebacker and then pass them off to the tackle and then catch the looper coming around. So that, I tell you what, that was a well-designed defensive blitz by the Raiders in that one, put him in a tough spot. And, you know, sacks do happen, but, you know, they're not always on the line. But, you know, I think their biggest issue, less pass protection, to me, it's more the stuff in the running game. I mean, they just can't get the running game going, and I like the way the running backs run.
We hear a lot about the psychological effect of a running game that gets established and starts going downhill and what it means for all these athletes working together to know they're imposing their will. What does it mean in the opposite direction? What's the psychological effect of not being able to get it done, of being beaten physically at the point of attack over and over and over again? And how hard is that for an offense to overcome?
Well, linemen want to go forward. Offensive linemen prefer, if they could have no pass blocking the entire game, they'd love that. Come off, you know, 55, 65 times and just run block. Pass protection is tough for them. So, you know, a lot of things have to go right when you throw the football, and, you know, third and short situations or whatever, and linemen, of course, would always love to come up because, you know, the ball can be tipped at the line of scrimmage from a defensive lineman. Obviously, the receivers have to win. Obviously, the quarterback has to deliver the football. The blitz, you know, you have to have the right protection on for the right blitz. A lot of complexities in that passing game that can go wrong. If you can just line up and run the football like the San Francisco 49ers did last night, man, that's a great way to go for an offensive line because there's just fewer variables. There's sort of like less pressure, you know, put on those guys. And but they don't run the football. They don't even, not that they don't try, but they don't commit to it. They do a ton of three receiver stuff. You know, when they have Cohen and Montgomery in the game, Cohen really is a receiver. So they don't really commit to, you know, two tight ends, the fullback. They don't even play with a fullback. So, you know, running the football it's definitely a throw to set up the run. It's definitely more sort of college, spread them out and run the ball and try to get good boxes. But, you know, that's not always easy. Having those tight ends, you know, helps out those tackles with double teams. When there's no tight end there, those tackles are by themselves against a superior athlete. And that's, to me, that's tough on the offensive line.
So is that what you need then in order to run the ball without a – because we've heard a lot about the fullback and whether or not they need one, whether they need to change the alignments here. What is it that offense, an offense without a fullback, has to have in order to run the ball? Is that as simple as, like you said, tight ends helping out tackles, or is it just better play from tackles to begin with?
I think if you're going to have no tight ends on the field or very, you know, maybe just one who a lot of times is displaced, as in he's not next to the tackle, you have to have some monster tackles. You know, I remember when I was with the Vikings, they had Bryant McKinney, who was just a mountain of a man, and Phil Loadholt, who was also – I mean, those guys are both 6'8", 360. They're huge guys because you're taking on, you know, defenders by yourself, and they have to be able to move too. So it's a tough – it's a tough mix. You know, you see that there's various offenses around the league. This is one of more of those. This is that spread out offense, probably as much as anybody in the NFL. When you see all these zone schemes going on, like the LA Rams and the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers, their linemen don't have to be like that because they're constantly getting help, you know, from the tight ends, and they're constantly getting some help from, you know, obviously having that fullback in the game. So it's two different styles of offenses. And I actually think that since teams are gone to faster defenses, you know, smaller, faster linebackers. They're not as big as they used to be because everyone, they got the guard, tight ends that can really run, and running backs and all this man-to-man stuff. You know, some of those teams with the fullback are having success because they say, hey, you're a little bit lighter over there. You're not used to just taking on, you know, fullbacks who are, you know, downhill like a bowling ball or right at you. Those guys don't like to get messy like that. And so teams are some of those teams start going back to the old school approach and taking advantage of a little bit of a lighter defense.
The famous Brian Billick line about dealing with a defensive lineman is you run at speed, you run away from strength. We know Khalil Mack is both, but judging from the game plan that was in evidence last week, he's a strength guy to them because John Gruden was moving things away from him, sprinting the quarterback away from him to start a play, just not allowing him to be as close to the ball to wreck the game.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. My rookie year, our first game of my rookie year, we played against San Diego, and Junior Seau was there. And there was a thought process as, do we run at Junior Seau? Because, you know, do you run at a great, you know, player who was totally in his prime at that point? Or do you run away from him? A lot of people would run away from him, but then you would realize that Junior would run everything down from the backside. So it was almost better to run at Junior Seau and, you know, and sometimes even get, you know, maybe two guys on him or a guy and a half on him, and then maybe have the ball either bounce outside or cut back. But, you know, guys like Khalil Mack are special athletes. The fact that they can play the run and be powerful, but also can, you know, chase things down from behind. You have to game plan, and, you know, not the Bears are very, very lucky to have that. And teams definitely have the game plan for it.
Sage, appreciate you as always. Great catching up. We'll talk next Tuesday.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
That is Sage Rosenfels. And because it is Tuesday, that means coming up next, just a couple minutes, it's Paul Charchian, who knows more about fantasy football than anybody.
Yeah, we can get your waiver wire set. If you've got people out there on the waivers to go grab, maybe some buy low, sell high kind of conversation, maybe some quarterback clarity as well. Charch at fanball.com is coming up. Brinson McKnight on the Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.